Shavuatov world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin brought you from Yerushalayim Ira Kadesh is daf Kuf Yud Dalid. And I'd like to start on, again, even though we did it a little bit, on daf Kuf Yud Gimel on the base, but six lines up, Itmar. Hamavashil Chelev Becholav. So what's the din if you cook the Chelev of an animal, not the meat, but the Chelev, the non-kosher fats, would you be Chayev on Basar Becholav? So Rabbi Ami Verabasi seem to disagree about this matter. One of them says you would get Malkus for Basar Becholav, and one of them says you would not get Malkus for Basar Becholav. So the simple way of understanding it is that they're talking about the same issue, and the question is whether we hold Iser Chalav Iser. So Lema Balkam Iflage. Madi Amar Loke holds Iser Chalav Iser, and even though the Chalav was Aser before, when it's cooked in milk, so now it becomes Aser Mishu Basar B'Chalav. Whereas the Madi Amar, but Eino Leike, Kasavar, Ein Iser Chalav Iser. It's pretty straightforward. Says the Gemara, but it certainly is not necessarily the case at all. Because it could be, de kuli alma ein iser chalal iser. Maybe everybody agrees that in general, we don't say iser chalal iser. And therefore, when it comes to eating it, the chalav is always usher to eat. So there's no way for the new iser to be chal on the eating problem because it's already usher to eat. Can't be double usher to eat if you hold ein iser chalal iser. And then everybody agrees that you would not get malchus for eating. The only machlokas is, would you get eaten malchus for cooking it? Because mandi amar loke, it's because chadi surahu. Look, the only problem of ein chalal iser is because there's no room, so to speak, for something to become usser if it's already usser. But there's no iser in terms of cooking. And therefore, the cooking is certainly usser because it wasn't usser before. And therefore, it's only chadi surahu. So, indeed, how could someone say that you would not get malchus for cooking it? Because, you must admit that it's rather strange that the way that the Torah informs us that there's an Isser Achila is by repeating the Isser of Bishul. So, why actually speak about Achila in terms of Bishul? It's Gufa to show us that if you're not going to get an Isser of Basar V'Cholav for malchus on the Achila, then there will not be an Isser of Malkus on the Bishul, because it's one straightforward state, Basar B'Cholav. Either it affects Bishul and Achila, or it can affect neither. So if it doesn't affect Achila, that's why you would not get Malkus. Or it could be, you could say just the opposite. You could say, actually, if it comes to Bishul, of course you get Malkus. That is no question. The only Malkus is whether you would get Malkus on the Achila. And how is that? So, Mandi Omar Eino Loke. I mean, why would you? Ein Isser Chalal Isser. There's no place for this Isser to be Chal. Whereas Mandi Omar Loike says, no, this is a special case. Because why did the Torah call this an Isser Bishul when it really meant that it's an Isser Achila? So, why speak about Achila Blashen Bishul? That's to tell me that if there is an Isser of Basar B'Cholav on Bishul, then there will be, by definition, an Isser of Basar B'Cholav also on the Achila. And that's another possibility that this is a special case. And there's yet another possibility. It could be that there is not even a Machlokas over here. Maybe Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were talking about two different things. Maybe a Man Omar Chada, if you want to say it's loike, that's referring to the bishul. You want to say eino loike, that's referring to the achila. And each one was addressing perhaps another thing. I don't know that there even is a machlokas that you're coming to explain what they argue about. Okay, now, the problem is that the Braita seems to say that you're definitely going to be chayev. Because this Braita says like this, among other things, and we'll talk about the other things in a second when we read it, but it also talks about the case that we just spoke about Isser Chal al Isser in various ways on Basar B'Cholav. So it starts off by discussing the question of what is considered to be Cholav. And it raises an interesting question. Is whey considered to be Cholav? That is a fascinating issue. I mean, it's actually the leftovers of chalav, right? What is whey? It's the watery substance after the milk solids are separated out. It's the watery substance that's left when you make cheese or separate out the milk solids for some other reason. So is that called milk or it's just like a water? So here the Braita says, if it's mei chalav, it's potter. And we'll see what is the basis is for this in a moment. How about if you cook dam in chalav, you're potter on the basar b'chalav issue because, as we saw before, dam is either we specifically excluded or we don't even need a raya to exclude it because dam is not a gidi. And the question is, would you even be chayiv on the dam? That's a different question because there's a shaila about if you cook dam, is it bechlal even osur midiraisa? And then, ha'atzamot, va'gidim, va'akranayim, va'tlafayim, shebishlam b'chalav, things that are not called meat, so that would be the bones or the inedible sinews or horn, hoof, whatever, those things that are made out of keratin, they're not really food, and therefore, you would be potter on basar b'chalav. Now, here's where we get into trouble. Ha'pigul v'hanotar v'hatamei shebishlam b'chalav, you would be chayev even though it was already osur because of pigul notar v'tamei, you'd still be chayev. So apparently, even though there is an isur, but the isur basar b'chalav is chal. Yeah, so what's the big deal? You know there's a machlokas about whether isur chal al isur. So this braita is going according to the man d'amar al isur chal al isur. I don't understand what your problem is. So Haitana so far, that in general, Isser Chalav Isser. But that's a well-known machlokas. It's not specifically about Basar V'Chalav, and it has to do with the issues that you were discussing over there about whether the Bishul and the Achila interrelate. It's nothing to do with that. This may be simply part of the overall question. It's just taken for granted that since all over Isser Chalav Isser, so the Tana is listing the various things that would be included. Anyway, getting back to that issue, you said if you cook in whey that you're potter, and this is actually a raya to Reish Lakish because we had a din in Machshirin, and that was in Feresh Mishnah. In Machshirin, we learned that mei chalav is considered to be the equivalent of chalav. So if you've got whey, then that is going to be machshir zroi, and that's what it's referred to over there. And mochal, which is that watery substance that comes out of olives before the squeeze, that has a din of oil. And there Reish Lakish pointed out, but wait a second, don't misunderstand this Mishnah. The Mishnah is specifically machshirin because that's all it's referring to, is the din of hechshir zroi. And lo shonu elo lahachshir et hazra'im, when do we say that whey is considered to be milk? In terms of whey falling on a foodstuff, and now that foodstuff becomes roi, l'kabel tumah. But it has nothing to do with basar b'chalav. L'inyan basar b'chalav, bisho basar b'chalav, mechalav einat kechalav. It certainly is not like milk, and there's a very simple reason for this. As the following braita explains, Tana Rabbanan. Did you ever see a nursing mother nursing whey? No. So when it says b'chalev imo, what do you think that means? You know, where it was turned into whey in the breasts? No, it's talking about chalav. So ainli ela b'chalev imo. So here we're going to go through the various things that we have to be mamayit, and then we'll go into the details. So how do I know that a different animal. Here we're talking about a gedi and the mother of the gedi, right? Okay, so I know I cannot cook a gedi in goat milk. That I understand. But how do I know that I can't cook a gedi or the milk that we said all milk was included? How do I know that I can't cook it in regular cow milk? So maybe bechalev para, or b'chalev Rachel, maybe I could actually cook it because that's not the iser of emo. Well, I mean, it's a kal v'chomer. Now, listen, gentlemen, before I explain this Gemara, I got to tell you that we are embarking on a marvelous example. It's so different from the way people think about anything. A marvelous example of the way that Chazal think in total abstraction. So we are used to breaking up these kind of things. There's different Isurim in the Torah and so on. We don't see an overall abstracted connection between them. If you take a look, the way that the Gemara views things is by removing the particular physical issues and, in fact, extracting an overall idea, a concept that you would never have even noticed. And the concept that the Gemara is about to take for granted is that there is a way in which there is interference between two kinds of things that have a certain similarity. And where those kind of interferences take place, let's consider this. There's different issues in the Torah that involve related items. So for instance, kilayim, mating different species. Now, over there, the question is the difference. So we're talking about things that would be prohibited from mating with each other. That's a type of mix. How about things that cannot be shechted on the same day as the other? Well, that's a type of mix. How about things that cannot go into the same group to take off mice or behema? Well, that's a type of mix. If they can't be in the same group, then that means that they are dislike issues, right? And so on. All of those things in the Gemara's point of view are exactly the same. Interference between like items. Basuf HaCholav is viewed as an abstract interference between like items. And therefore, we're going to approach the issue entirely abstractly and see whether we can abstract an issue of the Isser of Achila for Basuf HaCholav from the overall context of like items and how the Torah deals with like items. So let's take a look at this. This is a fascinating way of understanding the various Isurim in the Torah. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's like so, it's so advanced in how it looks at things that it's absolutely shocking. Okay, so we start off with this. Tana Rabbana. Okay, Pasuk says, don't mix it in its mother's milk. So how do we know if it's a different species, that you can't mix it in that species mix? Well, it's a kal vachomer. If you were talking about the mother, now the interference between two like items, mother and child, like items in the fact that they're the same species and that there's no problem of mating them with each other because they don't interfere. And in that case, nonetheless, the interference of the milk of that particular species is usser, then kosher came. If you're talking about items that have other problems of interference that can't be mated with each other. So obviously they're going to be usser, b'basr b'cholav, right? What an incredible way to look at it. Okay, so if you can't mate them, you certainly can't cook the milk together with the meat. It's amazing. So therefore, it for sure is going to be usser bibishal. And therefore, we need the pasuk to tell me b'chalev imo to include the milk of the parah. What just happened? You just proved to me that the milk of the parah is for sure going to be usser on the gedi, and then you say, and therefore, I need the pasuk. Therefore, you don't need the pasuk. What are you talking about? Omer Vashi, well, whenever a braita does that, it's basically allowing you to figure out what was wrong with that kal vachomer. And I'll tell you what was wrong. Because it expects you to uncover the fact that this kal vachomer was me'ikara dina pirecha. Excuse me. Now, those words themselves require some understanding. There are two ways to attack a Kal V'Chomer. One of them is to attack the interrelationship of the Kula and the Chumra that were the basis of the entire Liman in the first place. The other one is to attack it by bringing in some proof that would show the conclusion of the Kal V'Chomer is not correct, okay? But here, there's something wrong with your initial Kal V'Chomer because what you said was Kal and you said was Chomer, it ain't necessarily so. And we need to look at why it's not necessarily so. Because look, what was the basis of your Kal V'Chomer? The Kal V'Chomer was from the fact that mating from the mother is basically considered to be perfectly okay. And nonetheless, we have the problem of Basar B'Chalav. But you're ignoring another thing. Mothers are more problematic, as many people know. Mothers are more problematic in terms of mixing. Why is that? Because you cannot, listen to this, you cannot shecht a mother and child on the same day. Okay, so then that means there's another level of interference. We've got a mating interference problem. We've got a Basar B'Chalav interference problem. Now we've got a Shechita problem. So if you can't shecht them at the same time, that means they tend to create interference with each other. So maybe the reason that Basar B'Chalav is also from the same species, which is the mother species, that's because of the interference that we find in the Shechita problem. And therefore, maybe if there is no problem in the Shechita, then there would be no problem of Basar B'Chalav either. You see? Do you see? Isn't this fascinating? Ah, okay. So therefore, the whole Kal V'Chomer was no good. That's why Talmud Lomar B'Chalev Imo. That's why we need a special extra B'Chalev Imo, and that tells us that the Isser is Chal, even on a Parah, and which is not its species, and a Rachel, which is not its species, because the Pashtuses were talking about little goats. Okay, now, we've got another Chalev Imo, right? There's three Chalev Imos. Let's take a look at another Braisa to deal with another Chalev Imo. Tanya Idach, B'Chalev Imo. Eli Ela B'Chalev Imo. How do we know B'Chalev Achuto HaGedola Minayin? How about the sister? Okay, what is this referring to? Rashi understands this the way Rabbi Yosef Tovilim explains it, as he says, and he considers this to be absolutely the right shot in the Gemara. Older sister and younger sister that we're going to be talking about over here. Now, there are some, says Rashi, who believe that the Gemara is actually talking about another Tana who doesn't agree that we use the first Chalev Imo to add the Parah V'Rachel. And therefore, we're talking poetically. Older sister is Parah. She's big. And she's like an older sister. And younger sister is like a little lamb. So that would be a Rachel. And we're going to deal with that. But Rashi proves that that is not really a good way to learn the Gemara. The correct way to learn the Gemara is that it's a continuation of the same Tana, who indeed used the first Chalev Imo as an extension to Parah V'Rachel. And we literally are asking about older sister and younger sister. Why? Aha. Because. Remember that you can only take Ma'aser Behemah from animals that were born in that year and that therefore will go into the same deer lehit aser. An animal that was previously taken meiser from is no longer able to go into a deer lehit aser with a currently chayev in meiser animal. Uh-oh, that's interference. This animal cannot come into the same deer as this other animal. That would mean achoto agdola, so the older sister, which was in a different year's miser, cannot enter into this year's miser with this meat. Well, that's interference. And therefore, that interference may actually be a reason for there to be more Basar B'Chalav interference. What do you think of that? Is that crazy? Unbelievable. Doesn't come into the same dearly tasir, so therefore it's more reasonable that it would be also b'basar b'cholav. Sounds absolutely mad, unless you are completely focused on the abstraction and you have absolutely no connection to any of the physical particulars. So therefore, says the Gemara, well, it's a kal v'chomer. If mommy is able to go into the same deer, lihitaser, because a gedi can have a child within the same year easily. Actually, you can have three generations in one deer. So, and nonetheless, despite the fact that there's no interference in terms of deer, there is an interference of basar b'cholav, and it's nesra imo b'bishul. So, koshekein, older sister, which cannot go into the same deer, and therefore there's an interference pattern set up if you put the older sister together with this in the same deer. So then, oh my gosh, for sure it's going to be usur v'basur b'cholav. I mean, it's more interfering. I love it. Anyway, so that proves it. Well, that's why we need the pasuk. What? You just proved it. What are you talking about? Olam alikra. Didn't you just say that you proved it with a kal v'chomer? Yes. But this kal v'chomer also has got a fundamental breakdown in its initial analysis of the kula v'chomer. Because where were you bringing the raya from? From mommy. But it's the same problem. Mommy sets up interference patterns with this child in terms of shechting them on the same day. And that's the Isser of Otov et Beno. So that's another kind of interference pattern. And therefore, the Achoto Agidola is not Osir to shecht on the same day as this animal. There's no interference. And therefore, because there's no interference pattern, we cannot bring a Raya that it's going to be Osir to do the basar b'cholav, because it may well be that there's more of a problem with the aim than there is because of the achoto agdola in terms of shechita on the same day. And we don't know which interference pattern is more critical in its relationship to the problem of basar b'cholav. That's why we needed to say b'chalev imo. Okay, so now you've proven older sister. But how do you know about little sister? Little sister does go into the same deer, lihitaser, because it's all in the same year, and it lacks the interference pattern of otov et beno, and it lacks the interference pattern of eno nichnas ledir lihitaser. And so what makes you think that there would be an iser to cook meat of a gedi in the milk of its younger sister? Well, that I can prove from making a mahatzat. I'll put the two together. So I'll make a tzad hashava, because we already proved that older sister and mommy are actually both usher in basar b'cholav, right? So now, let me start like this. Mehetes, okay, where do you want to start from? Let me start with mommy, okay? Younger sister should be just as usher as mommy. So what are you going to say about that? No, you already told me there's an interference pattern with mother because the mother cannot be shechted biyom echad, right? That's usher v'espenon lo tishchatu. But wait a minute. We already have derived from the extra pasuk. We already derived older sister, achoto gedola. So if achoto gedola, that would prove that you do not need the interference pattern of lo shishchatu oso vespeno, because there is no such interference pattern with older sister. There's only such a pattern with mommy. So therefore, now I know it is not dependent on that pattern. Yes, but wait a second. It may be dependent on an interference pattern, a different one, because maybe achoto gedola creates an interference pattern if you try to put it into the deer lehitaser. And maybe that's the reason that the basar b'cholav is also usher. But little sister doesn't create any interference if it's in the same deer, and therefore maybe there's no problem. of Basar B'Cholav. Ah, you see, but I can prove that that is not critical to the argument, because Mani, actually, we know that she is Aser, and she definitely can be Nichnas L'Dir Lihis Aser, so therefore the interference patterns of Dir Lihit Aser are not critical. The interference pattern of Otoved Beno Lo Tishkatu B'Yom Echad is not critical for Basar B'Cholav. So put the two together, and what do you get? Hatzad HaShava Shabam, you'll go back again. V'chazer HaDin. Okay, so Lori Zekri Zeh. Lori Zekri Zeh. Each one of them is basically going to have a different interference pattern. And as we do with every Ma'atzad, we say, therefore, what we can conclude is it isn't the interference pattern that's critical. It's rather Atzad HaShava Shabahem. Guess what? There's something called meat and meat. Meat and milk. Meat and milk? I thought there were only interference patterns. Nope. There's an actual common denominator. The common denominator is this one is meat, and this one is milk, and you're not allowed to mix them. What about that? Good heavens, what a finish. That's right. Okay, so if that's the case, then Afani Avia Chotoktana, I'm talking about little sister. It's meat. Is it or is it not? You admit it's meat? It's meat. Okay, so then the Tzad HaShava is that it's Osir Levasho B'Chalav. Very simple. Wait a minute. So if you did that, and you didn't need a pasuk to tell me little sister, so why couldn't you actually learn out older sister, which has the interference pattern of Eino Nichneset Imo B'Dir L'Yitaser? Let me actually learn out Achoto G'dola by putting together two things that we already know. We know that the mother is Aser, and we know that even a para is Aser. The milk of a para is Aser. Or the milk of a Rachel is Aser. We proved that before. And therefore, we should be able to do the same thing that we did just now with little sister. We could say that, look, if you're telling me that I can't cook in a mother's milk, that's how you started. Even though there's no problem of nichneset l'dir l'yitaser, and certainly it's going to be usher to cook it in older sister's milk, which is what we said originally, because the older sister has an interference pattern when it comes to the din of dir l'yitaser. So what will you say? No, but that doesn't mean anything because there's no iser of and maybe that's the interference pattern that is essential. Ah, so you could say that I could prove to you that there is an Isra Basar B'Cholav that doesn't have anything to do with Lo Shishkatu B'Yom Echad. So what's your response going to be? True, but remember that a para cannot be mated together with the Gedi. So therefore, we have the Kelayim problem, which is itself an interference pattern, right? So if we've got an interference pattern with that din, and we've got another interference pattern, we've even got two interference patterns, because not only can you not mate them together, they're not able to be taken miser. You never can take miser from two different species, and just put them in together. You need 10 of the same species. Okay, so we see over here that means that the reason that maybe that's the reason that there's an Isser Basar B'Cholav. But then I can go back and show you that no, I just explained to you that that's not true about the mother. You can put the mother in the same deer. You can mate together with the mother. So therefore, Atzad HaShava Shabam is exactly the Atzad HaShava that you just proved about little sister. The Atzad HaShava Shabam is the fact that, guess what? There's this concept of meat and milk. Meat and milk? Yeah, come on down. Meat and milk. Meat and milk is Aser. So why couldn't we have done that right there? Well, we could have. I admit, we really could have done that. Okay, so then I don't get it. Why then? You were using this to explain why we need the second Bechalev Imo, and you said, I can't learn it out of the Kal Vachomer or Mahatzad. Now you're telling me we could. So how about fessing up and telling me the truth? What is this third Pasuk of Bechalev Imo there to teach me? Now you've admitted we don't need it to tell me little sister. We don't need it to tell me big sister. Well, what do we need it for? I'll tell you. What we need it is for this sugya. Bechalev imo. So even what he just said, our chalev imo, the first two chalev imos, I'd still think it would have to be bechalev imo, but how about in its own milk? So now, we've got a refrigerator fill of milk with this cow. And now, mean farmer wants to shech this cow and cook it in its own milk. What a vicious man. Is that a problem or not? Well, your first response to that is that it's a Kal Vachomer. Now look, in general, let us abstract. The question, and this is another incredible Gemara abstraction. Let us abstract the question. It has nothing to do with the particular organisms, okay? Wipe that out. There are no babies. There are no milks. There are no, nothing. There's just first level, second level. That's all there are. So first level is called mommy level, and second level is called the result of mommy level. Now, results of mommy level could be milk. Results of mommy level could be children, whatever, makes no difference. We're abstracting the idea. Amazing. We're abstracting the idea totally. You think that the Pentagon, in talking about motorized people movers instead of talking about cars, you think they're crazy. This is like the ultimate, right? Complete and total abstraction. Okay, so here's the Kal Vachomer. In a situation where you've got one second-order product with another second-order product. Which second-order product are you talking about? Two children, okay? Two children are not usher to be shechted on the same day. But a first order on a second order is usher to be shechted on the same day. So now we've got an interference pattern between first order and second order that does not exist between two second orders, right? There's no issue of shechting two children of the same cow on one day. But there is a problem of shechting the cow with the child. Okay. So again, forget about cows, children, anything. Let's just talk about first orders and second orders. So if we're talking about when it comes to shechita, you've got a bigger problem of a first level to second level than you have of a second level to second level, right? So a mokum shenesar pri impri. So how about places where you've got this problem of second level, two second levels? Milk, that's a second level. That's a product of a first level. Child, that's a second level. Okay, so now if you're going to mix two second levels, you're not allowed to cook them together. And one is a kid and one is milk, but that's irrelevant. So you're not allowed to cook two second levels with each other. So, of course, if that's the case, where you've got a problem with a pre-impri, in what? Cooking. The Torah says you can't cook two second levels together. You can't cook a meat with milk. Now, those things, meat of a child with milk of a mother, child is second level product of a mother. Milk is second level product of a mother. So if that's the case, for sure you should not be able to cook the second level with the first level. Isn't that obvious? Because we've already seen that first level with second levels are more problematic in terms of the Isser of Shnita because you're Usser and Otovet Beno. So if you're Usser and Otovet Beno, Kol Shekein, you're Usser and Busser Becholov of the same animal's milk, which is basically Shechting its kid. Come on, guys, this is brilliant. I can't believe it. Bunch of boring, what's going on around here? Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Rebbe, you can't stop in the middle of the whole story and then ask us what's going on. You gotta hit
I'm working for people smiling, laughing, jumping up and down. Instead, I get these blank looks. I can stop. I must stop. It's impossible to continue with such boredom.
You can do it, Rebbe.
All right, I'll keep going. Okay. So therefore, for sure, it should be usher to cook together these two different products, mother and milk, because that's a first order with second order, and it's the same animal. There's Uriah. Talmud lomar b'chalev imo. What? Talmud lomar b'chalev imo? I thought you just proved it. Now, why are we going back to this pusik again? Loma likra ha'atyalo. Didn't you just prove it? Omer v'achtavoy barami. You're going to love this one, I hope, idiots. Anyway, so Omer v'achtavoy barami. No, because there's a way to show that the Kal v'chomer is no good. Imagine a case like this. You've got a horse, okay? Now, this horse is the son of a mare and the son of a horse that made it together and made a regular old-fashioned horse, okay? So this horse has, in fact, a half-brother of a mule. So it's a half-sister, right? So he's a half-brother to a mule. Now, can he be mated with the brother and the sister together? No. Why? Well, even though they're both second-order products of the female horse, they're second-order products of the mare, and they set up an interference pattern with each other in terms of mating. I don't care what it is, but basically, you can't put them together. So that shows that the pre may be usher with the pre and yet be mutter with the mother, because the same horse can mate with the mother, which is pure horse, and he's pure horse, and therefore there should be no problem of interference. This is grand, right? So you see that it's not necessarily true that pre-im-pre is going to be more mutter than pre-im-aim. You see, you're exactly the opposite. The pre-im-aim is mutter, and the pre-im-pre is usser. So that's why we need to puss it. Ah, ridiculous. That has nothing to do with interference patterns. That has to do with the fact that you got in the sperm of a father that was a different species. That's what it has to do with. It's not interference patterns. It's the Zera Ha'av de Kagorim. Look, I'll prove it to you. It has nothing to do with first orders and second orders, because imagine that you had the son of this wonderful mare. However, he was a parrot. Daddy was a mule, a donkey. And he is the brother of a female mule. Daddy was a donkey. Now, can the male daddy was a donkey and mommy was a mare mate with a female daddy was a donkey and mother was a mare? Yes. Mutter pre impre. They're both considered to be a mule. And therefore, they're both kosher. But they can't mate with their own mother. And therefore, they're usher pre-impre. So you see that it has nothing to do with the specific pre-impre or pre-im-aim. It has to do with where the species is defined. That's all. So pre-impre may be better. Pre-impre may be worse, depending on where the mix is. That's all. So again, what was wrong with the Kal v'chomer? Why did you need that pusik? Well, says Mar Barei de Ravina, I'll prove to you another proof that this Kal v'chomer about pre in pre being worse, that being better than pre ma'im is not true. Because Mishum de Ikala Meimar, what happens if you have, I'll tell you why we need the pusik, you have an Eved Kenani, and he's the son of a Shivcha Kenanit, and he's the brother of a Meshuchereret. What's the din over there? Well, the son who is not Meshuchrer is Osir with the Meshuchereret, but nonetheless, the son who is not Meshuchrer is Mutter with the mother who is not Meshuchreret, and both of them are Avadim. So you see that you may have a situation where pre-Imaim is less problematic than pre-Impri. Again, completely abstracted from anything whatsoever. We're simply talking about the issue of second order Eved versus first. So same thing would be true over here, even though you're not allowed to cook the meat of the child with the milk of the mother, because those are both pre and pre, that doesn't mean that the prima aim, which was the source of the milk, that's going to be usher. So the kavachom is no good. So we needed an extra pusik to tell me that even cooking it in its own milk is usher. No. That has nothing to do with the abstraction of, you know, you're getting carried away with this abstraction jazz. I mean, over there, there's a very simple reason why it's not an abstraction. It's the get shichrur that's the issue, and the get shichrur is not an abstraction. The get shichrur is what causes the whole problem. I'll prove it to you. You could take the case, take exactly the same case, give the get shichrur to another one of the agents over here, and then an Eved, who is the son of a mother who's Meshuchreret, who is the brother of a Shivcha who's not Meshuchreret, will prove that he is mutter with the sister, because Eved with Shivcha is mutter, and he's not allowed to mate with the mother, because the mother is Meshuchreret, and she has a din of Yisrael. So it's all just a matter of logistics, not of abstraction. Please, cut it, man. Okay, so then we're still stuck with the problem. Why do we need a pusik when we proved it with the kavachomer, and you haven't been able to show me that kavachomer is problematic in any way? Ella Omaravini Bar Ovin. Ah, yeah, you're gonna love this one, because you see, you can't mix two different species, right, with each other. So you've got, let's say, chitim and sorim, or chitim and adashim. Now, those are kaloi zeroim, and there you're not allowed to mix the two peirot, which are the product of a single, what are they products of? It's called planet Earth. So planet Earth is level one. Level two are things that grow from planet Earth, okay? So you've got chitim from planet Earth, adashim from planet Earth, and you have no problem in planting the product into planet Earth itself. Now, how can you put a chita into planet Earth if it's a child of planet Earth? But you see that you can mix the child, which is over here, the chita, with planet Earth, or the Adashim with planet Earth, but you can't mix them with each other. Ha ha! So that shows that the Kavachomer is no good. And therefore, I need the Pusik. No, come on. I mean, it's not planet Earth that's the problem over there. That's planet Earth that's the solution. I mean, basically, is there really an Isser of mixing wheat with barley? Take a wheat and put it in the same cup of barley and shake it up, okay? And get yourself a barley wheat shake. Is there any problem in that? No. So the only issue is because of the fact that they're both going to the mother. So the mother's the problem. It's the earth that makes the problem. I told you this planet was a problem from the beginning. And therefore, that's the real issue. So how could you possibly tell me that that's a raya, that it's easier to mate with the mother? On the contrary, the only problem of kilayim is if it's in the mother. So the braita doesn't make sense. The kavachomer was a good kavachomer. And why would we need the pasik? Elam Ravashi, I'll tell you why. It's getting away from abstraction a little bit, okay? The reason is that the case of the pri, im ha-pri, may be the reason that those things are considered to be a problem of basar b'chalav is because of the fact that they are physically two unique physical objects. Now, I know that this troubles you about your abstraction, but perhaps the concept of physical distinct bodies are important. So it's still a pretty good abstraction. So maybe the problem of the prima pri, that is to say the milk with the meat that's the child of that mother, is because of the fact that they are different physical units. But to say that the mother should be usher to be cooked in its own milk, where they're not distinct physical units, over there it's all coming from one physical unit. So maybe that's not called basar b'chalav. How can one unit set up in a pattern of interference with itself? That's why we need a special pasuk. Mishum achi itzrich kra, and that explains the third pasuk of Chalev Imo. Wow. What a ride. What a pleasure. What a mind-boggling expansion of how to look at things. Incredible. Omer Rav Ashi. Okay. It says, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Now we've established what the chalev imo is. And now we've established what the gedi is. But it doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to eat it. It just says you're not allowed to cook it. So where do you get the idea that you can't eat it once it's cooked? So minayin lebasar b'chalav shaz sur ba'achila. Ah, this actually comes from an overall concept, which is lo tochal kol to'eva. Don't eat anything that's a to'eva, period. That's one pasuk. Okay, what does that mean? It means that kol she'tiavti lecha, anything that I said to you, should not be created in that way. And I say, that is terrible. Then that is something that you can't eat. Lo tochal kol to'eva. Now, did I tell you not to cook basar v'chalav together? Okay, then don't eat it. That's the point. If you can't create it, then don't eat it if it was created. Now, you might think, okay, but that just says lo tochal. It doesn't say not to be ne'eneh. How do we know that there's an isser of hana'ah? B'hana'ah minayin. Well, that follows from the kalal of Rabbi Abo. The Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol makom shenemar lo yochal, or lo tochal, or lo tochlu. Even though it seems to be talking only about eating, it actually is asering completely. And what it means is don't consume. It doesn't mean don't eat. It means don't consume in any way. So that would mean you can't actually derive any benefit from it. That's what it means. So it includes both Isra Achila and Isra Hanah is b'mashma, unless you're specifically told, but it's not a problem to get Hanah from it, because, as it did in the case of Nevela. Now, why did the Torah have to tell you that you should take the Nevela and give it away to the Ger or sell it to the Ovid Kochavim? Why did it have to tell you that? Whatever I do with it is my business. If it's mutter ba'ana'ah, so it's gufa telling me that it's mutter ba'ana'ah, right? Okay, so then if it's telling me that it's mutter ba'ana'ah, that would mean that if it hadn't told me it's mutter ba'ana'ah, it would not have been mutter ba'ana'ah. Well, why not? It only said, don't eat a nevela, never said, don't be nana from the nevela. So obviously, if it talks about not to eat a nevela, so then if it needs to say, you're allowed to be nene from it, if it says not to eat something else, it means not to eat, like a kol to'eva, or to be nene, unless it said otherwise, but it doesn't say otherwise. So therefore, the same way it tells me benevela. Now, the next words are wrong, and they don't make any sense, because basically, this statement of leger benetina and la'ovei kochavim b'mechira invalidates the entire argument. Let me explain to you why. We're about to see a machloket about whether the pasuk that says "Lagera shebishorecha titnena veochala umochor tu anochri." Right now, there's a machloket. Does that mean specifically the netina is to the ger and the mechira is to the goy, or does it mean to either one? And we're going to see that machlokas. If it means to tell me that you can only sell it to a goy and you have to give it to a ger, or you can only give it to a ger but you're not allowed to give it to a goy because it's usher to give things to a goy, then it has nothing to do with telling me that it's mutar b'hana'a, correct? It's just coming to tell me this is what you got to do with it. These are your two options. I would know it would be mutar b'hana'a. So obviously, the only way that we could use the raya is if you don't say those words about leger. You can't say leger b'netina l'ovik l'chavim b'mechira, because that's exactly what invalidates your proof, you see. Did you understand that? Let's take the next step, and you'll see what I'm talking about, and then it'll be very clear. What we're saying is that if the Torah defines that heter hana'ah, then it's mutar b'hana'ah. But if it doesn't define the heter b'hana'ah, then it means it's asur b'hana'ah, even though it only said lo tochlu kol nevela, right? So now, let's examine, as the Gemara is about to do, the Braita, the Tanya. Lo tochlu kol nevela. The pasuk says lo tochlu, which you're claiming means you can't eat it or benefit from it. And therefore, I need to tell you, la gera shebisharecha titnena ve'ochala o mechor lenochri. So, does this mean only? Ein li ela la ger benetina ve'lovet kochavim b'mechira. Could I do it the other way around if I want to? La ger b'mechira minayin. How do I know that? No, I could sell it to the ger. This is a ger toshav, of course, it's referring to, who eats nevelot. The ger toshav, remember, was only mekabel on himself not to be oved avodah zarah. He never said he's not going to eat nevelas. So therefore, if you take a look at the way the pasuk formulated the dinim of mechira and netina, it put them in between the ger and the goy. So you can read it like this: La ger asher b'sharecha titnena o mechor, because it could be read just as easily like that. So the netinar, the mechira, was put in the middle. How do I know that you could also give it for free to the oved kochavim? So la oved kochavim b'netina minayin. Well, you could read that titnena o mechor lanochri, which means nimtza. It doesn't really matter whether it's a ger, whether it's Ovid Kechavim, you can either give it Bein B'mechira, Bein B'netina, Divi Rebbe Meir. So now, according to Rebbe Meir's approach, what then is the point of telling me you can do whatever the heck you want with it? That's the point. The point is that if it hadn't told me you could do what you want with it, it would have been Azur Bana. You couldn't have done anything with it, you see? So that proves that even though the Torah only used the Lashon of don't eat it, if it doesn't say otherwise, as it does over here, that don't eat it would include don't derive any benefit from it whatsoever. Okay? So according to Rebbe Meir, you can say that. However, according to what Rebbe Yehuda is about to say, that doesn't follow. Because Rebbe Yehuda Eimer, Devarim kichtavam, no, the Torah means exactly what it's saying. To the ger toshav, you give it for free. To the Oved Kochavim, you can't give it for free. You have to sell it because you're not allowed to give free things to a goy because of Lo Techanim. That's the point. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's Tafka Ledvarim Kichtavam. Because, look, my time to Rabbi Yehuda, Isak Adaitach Kitakama Rabbi Meir. If Rabbi Meir was right, why does it say O? It's not an O. It's there, because you're giving me, do this, do that. Why are you giving me options? So according to what Rabbi Meir is saying, the Pasuk should have said, Lo tochlu kol nevela, la gera shebisharecha titnena v'achala u'mechor, and said, l'nochri. But why does it say, u'mechor l'nochri? So obviously, it's telling me that these are two alternative options and they can't be mixed. Shma mina l'dvarim kichtav amudi ata. You've got only a choice of giving it l'ger v'netina or l'oved kochavim v'michira. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot make the argument that the Torah had to tell you the heter hana. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not there to tell you the heter hana, it's there to tell you the specific usage that you have to make on it. So the whole argument in the Gemara breaks down if you have that ridiculous girsa of the same words that it was the ger b'netina v'lovet kochavim up front, because that's not where you can learn. K'derek shepiret l'chaben v'vela, clear? So Tosis makes that point, and it's very obvious. You think of it yourself. There's no possible way to make it work out like that. So how does Rebbe Yehuda know that it would be usher and that it would have been, if you say lo tochal, it includes Yisra'na? That he learns from treifo. It says like kelev tashlichunoto. Why does it have to say throw it to a dog? Because you wouldn't be allowed to throw it to your dog unless the Torah said to throw it to your dog. But it only says nan Yisra'chila. So why do I need to say to throw it to the dog? That's the point. It's coming to be matir. Fine. So that's what the Gemara deals with elsewhere, not here. It's a sugya and psachim. So the Gemara brings that as the way we would know it in Reb Yehuda. So therefore, the correct girsa has got to take out those words, that la'ovet kochavim, b'mechira, and so on. That's Reb Yehuda shita. Okay. So now, tshmar min olet var mekiktavam, according to Reb Yehuda, it's only this way, hudiyata. And how does Rabbi Meir explain the fact that it says O? Says Rabbi Meir, the O doesn't mean you only have those options. The O means that it's a nicer option. To be mocked in Nitina Leger to Mechira to Ovi Kachavim. If you got an option, try to take care of the Ger before you make a buck out of it. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that's obvious. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. L'hakdim nitina deger l'mechira d'ovei kochavim lo tzarich kro. I mean, obviously, it's a svara. If you have a mitzvah on the one hand, and if you have a ger toshav who needs something to eat, there's a mitzvah to give him something to eat because he's supposed to be v'chayim. He's supposed to be able to live with you. So, of course, you're mitzvah l'hachiyoto. And if you're supposed to keep him alive, then be mekayim the mitzvah before you make money. As far as selling it to the guy, zeh, or giving it to the guy, iyata mitzuveh lahachayoto. So that's not what it's coming for. The question of why it would be mutter at all to give it to a guy is not a problem, because essentially the lotecha name is always where you don't expect to derive any benefit from it. If we're talking about neighbors, so you got a neighbor who's a goy, and you want to give him the thing that is not kosher for you, that's just good neighborly relations. Good neighborly relations pay off. So you're not giving it to him for free. I mean, yes, it looks like you're giving it to him for free, but essentially these are exchanges of goodwill. Exchanges of goodwill are worth money. So that's not called lo techa name. Whew, what a night, baby. What a night. Absolutely amazing. I mean, can you imagine there are people watching the Saturday night show tonight? And whoa. They can't even imagine what they're missing out on. This is ridiculous. My gosh. I even think some people went to watch the Odyssey instead of this stuff. I mean, that's like crazy. Okay, everyone. Shavua tov u'mevorach, hineyel yeshuati, eftach v'lo efchad. And hopefully we have some time coming up, which is going to be wonderful, full of b'serot tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot. See you, Bezrat Hashem, in the morning.